All right, take your Bibles, turn back with me to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. Remember last Sunday, we started Psalm 23. We looked at Psalm 22, and then we started Psalm 23 last Sunday. And last Sunday morning, we looked at the first phrase of the first verse, "The Lord is my shepherd." We looked at that Sunday morning and Sunday night. Today, we're going to look at the second phrase of the first verse, "I shall not want." Well, if you remember from last Sunday, we began by looking at this phrase, "The Lord is my shepherd." And we really dealt with two primary things. Number one, David, as king, was making a confession, a twofold confession. And you say, what was that twofold confession? Well, the first part of it, that he was a sheep. And so here is a king on all authority and all power of his kingship, declaring himself to be just a sheep. But then in that same confession, he turned around and said, but even though he's a sheep, he had a shepherd. And he says, Yahweh, Jehovah, the God of all sufficiency, is his shepherd. And so here was David yielding and submitting himself as a sheep to a shepherd. Now remember, we talked last week that sheep are creatures which are absolutely hopelessly and helplessly dependent upon a shepherd. With a sheep that does not have a shepherd has no hope and no help. They cannot survive. They cannot live. They absolutely cannot survive in the wild without a shepherd. They require a shepherd to help tend and take care of them. And this is true for all of us because, listen, the Bible calls us sheep. The Bible says in John 10 that Jesus is our good shepherd. The Bible says he's our great shepherd. The Bible says he's our chief shepherd, which means he's going to come back for his sheep one day. And when we come to this second phrase, "I shall not want," you say, what does that mean? Well, the word "want" here doesn't mean what we think it means in the English. In other words, in the English, when I say I want something, what it means is I want something that I don't have. Now, there's a lot of people that translate this phrase in that way, saying, well, you turn on some of these TV guys and you're going to hear this. Well, the Bible says that if he's your shepherd, you shall never want. In other words, everything that you want, God will give to you if you just trust him. Well, I got news for you. That's a lie.
Amen.
Now, but here's what it is saying. The word "want" is a Hebrew word that means this. It means to not be lacking or not to be deficient in. So here's the way it actually reads in the Hebrew. It reads in this way, "The Lord is my shepherd, and I in nothing am lacking." I in nothing am lacking. That's the way it reads in the actual Hebrew. So here's David. He's saying, hey, I'm just a sheep. But he's saying, I'm just a sheep, but yet because he's my shepherd, in nothing I am lacking. Now you say, well, what, does that just mean physical? No, listen, this encompasses physical and spiritual. So in other words, if he is your shepherd and we as sheep are yielding to him as shepherd, here's what David was saying. He didn't say, I will not maybe one day not want, or I will not one day be lacking. He says, I am right now, I am not lacking in anything in my life.
Amen.
You say, why is that? Well, because the Lord was enough. You just heard that sung by Miss Ashley. Jesus is all I need, and he is my shepherd. Now, here's the thing. We live in a world that wants, wants and wants and wants. I was telling the early service, the 8:30 service, I was telling them, my son was in the 8:30 service. I said, now, if you ask my son, do you want a cherry red Corvette? I promise you, he'd say, yeah. Matter of fact, prove it. When we're driving down the road, a cherry red Corvette drives by, he said, I claim it. I mean, you know, listen, you can want all you want, but this is not what this passage is saying. This passage is not dealing with your selfish wants. This passage is dealing with your actual needs.
So in other words, listen, it's not saying that I can get everything I want. What it's saying is God will never leave you lacking in what he knows you need.
Amen.
Not what you think you need, but what he knows you need. And so therefore, here's David's, his confidence. He's saying, I am nothing and lacking in my needs. Because the Lord, his shepherd, was enough. Now, if I asked you today, and if I asked all of us today, do you believe that the shepherd, the Lord Jesus, is enough for you? All of us would say yes. Every one of us in here would say, yes, Jesus is enough. But here's the question this morning. See, David's not writing this in a future tense. He's writing this about how he is living now.
Amen.
So let me ask you a question. We would all agree with the statement, the Lord's enough. But how many of us are walking in the reality of that? You see, David's making a statement here in light of him walking in it. He said, the Lord is currently my shepherd, and in nothing am I lacking. I shall not want. So what I want to deal with today, I want to deal with the truth today of if this is the truth, and it is, then how do I walk in this? Or what keeps me from walking in this? In other words, how can I walk in such a confidence that I am the Lord's and the Lord is my shepherd? I belong to him and he lives in me. Now, I said this to the early service. I want to say it to you. Listen, in the Old Testament, here's the way it worked. The shepherd would walk with his sheep. But in the New Testament, under the New Covenant, here's the way it works. The shepherd lives in his sheep.
Amen.
So you and I have a privilege that even David didn't understand in that day. So therefore, are we walking in the reality of because he's my shepherd, in nothing I am lacking? Now, I want you to look at these truths with me. I want to begin first by looking at the sheep are settled in their shepherd. These things have to be true in our lives for us to walk in this truth, okay? And first thing is sheep are settled in the shepherd. Now you say, what do you mean by that? Well, listen, when a sheep becomes the shepherd's at first, remember I said last week, sheep are stubborn.
Amen.
And you say, well, you're calling me a stubborn sheep. No, the Bible is. Amen. I am too. Y'all say amen.
Amen.
We all are stubborn from time to time. And sheep are the most stubborn creatures there are. But what happens over time, when the shepherd comes in possession of that sheep, the shepherd through discipline, through love, through care, through continuous love and continuous care, begins to bring that sheep along to the place that now the sheep not only want to be in the presence of the shepherd, the sheep are settled in his presence. They're content there. They're at peace there. And I'll say it a little bit further. They are not at peace anywhere else. Sheep are the most timid, scared creatures that there are. And the only thing that brings them peace is knowing that their shepherd is there. And so here's what the first thing has to take place. For you and I to truly, like David, say, in nothing I am lacking because the Lord is my shepherd. The first thing is you have to be settled in him. Now, that involves a couple of things. First thing is this. Sheep are settled with the company of the shepherd, his presence. Now, let me ask you a question. We would all say, do you want to be in the presence of the Lord? All of us say, yes, glory, yes. But do you enjoy the presence? Oh, yes, glory, yes. But let me ask you a question. Do we really? You say, what do you mean? Well, how many agree every time that you get on your knees or bow your heads or however you pray, every time you do, you're ushering yourself in fellowship with his presence? Every time you open his word, how many agree? You're ushering yourself in fellowship with his presence. So here's what happens with a sheep. A sheep are only comfortable, only settled, only content, only at peace when they know the shepherd is within eyesight. When they know the shepherd is present. And that's the only way that they are, can be content. So here's the truth of the matter. As children of God, as sheep that belong to Him, our great shepherd, let me ask you a question today. Are you settled? Are you comfortable in His presence? Or do you find spending time with the Lord drudgery or a duty that you have to make yourself do? If Jesus is everything to us, the Spirit of God gives us a desire for His presence. One of the things on prayer is this. Prayer is not a duty. Prayer is a delight. In other words, can I discipline myself? You can try. In other words, can I set up times that I'm going to set aside? This is God's time and nobody else's. Yes, you can. And I would say this, you should. But here it comes down to it. You can put every discipline in place. But if there's not a desire, I promise you, you'll find a reason not to. You know, I have people ask me all the time, say, "Preacher, what do you do with unfaithfulness? How do you help people that are unfaithful?" There's only one help for people that are unfaithful. The Lord's got to give them desire. Amen? That's the only help for them. But can I tell you what happens? What you have a desire for, you're going to do. And there's nothing going to stop you from doing it. Hey, I want to tell you something, folks. Listen, you and I need to understand the reason sheep are so comfortable in the company of their shepherd is because there's a desire. There's a love, intimate relationship with their shepherd. The shepherd has proved his love over and over and over and over again. And the sheep have come to a place of enduring their shepherd. And they only are comfortable in his presence. And that's where David was. And David said, I am not in want. I am lacking in nothing. Why? Because the Lord, my love, is my shepherd. Let me give you a few verses to go along with this. Isaiah 26:9. Listen to what it said. With my soul have I desired thee in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek thee. Earth. Listen to the psalmist, Psalm 27. Listen, boy, it's a word right here. One thing have I desired of the Lord. Now let's stop there. Everybody look up here and don't look at the screen. So if I ask you, what's the one thing you desire? I mean, I'd get a myriad of answers. I'd get, well, that my children would be successful, my children would be healthy, that I would be able to supply for my family, and we could go on and on. And listen, none of those desires are wrong. But here's what the psalmist says. One thing above everything else I desire of the Lord. What does he say? Watch what he said. That I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. What does that mean? It's not talking about heaven. It's talking about the presence of God. He's talking about the temple, the tabernacle, where the presence of God is. And he says that I would dwell in the presence of God all the days of my life. He said there's no desire greater than that. He said there's nothing I'm going to seek over that. And this is my prayer for all of us in this coming year, that God would get us to the place that we seek nothing above our intimate fellowship with Him. Nothing. That would be the supreme desire of our hearts. Let me give you one more. Psalm 84, verse 2. This is, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord, being the presence of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever worked outside in your yard in the heat of the summer? So sometimes in the summers, you get out there in the heat of the summer. I mean the Julys and Augusts of the summer. I mean, it's so hot, you just walk outside and you start sweating. I mean, you know, and you're trimming bushes and you're pruning shrubs and you're cutting limbs and you're mowing grass and you're weed eating and you're edging the driveway and edging your sidewalk. And after a full day out in that heat of that sun, you're so hot, you've sweated so much, you've lost 5 pounds. And all of a sudden, guess what? Because you've sweated so much, you faint for something to drink. Can I tell you what's true of you and I? When you're in that physical place, you'll do whatever it takes to find something to drink. If you don't have it in the refrigerator, I guarantee you'll get in the car and drive to Ingles and get it. You're going to get you something to drink. That's just what this psalmist said. He says, I pain after thee, O God. He said, I pain after thee, O God. He said, I'm thirsty for thee, O God. Oh, that God would put in our hearts such a hunger and thirst for Him that nothing else could compare. This is how we walk in this truth. Because if I'm always wanting other things other than Him, I'm always going to be found lacking in my life. Because if I'm His, I can't find peace in anywhere else but Him.
Amen.
And this is what David is saying. Now, let me show you the second component of sheep settled in the shepherd. Not only the company of the shepherd are they settled with, but sheep are settled with the confidence in the shepherd. And you say, what do you mean? Well, they trust him. In other words, if the shepherd provides everything for the sheep, would you not agree today that they have to trust him? And in other words, let me put it to you this way. Do you really trust that the Lord is all you need? I'm not saying do you say it. I'm saying do you really believe it? Are you walking it? That He's all you need? In other words, here's the way it works. With sheep, they're so confident in the shepherd that if he moves, they move. If he stops, they stop. Where he goes, they go. Because they have confidence in him. Why? Because he's proved himself over and over and over again that they can trust him. Let me ask you a question. Has our shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, ever done anything to cause you not to be able to trust him? No. So, how many of us worry? Don't raise your hand. But how many of us worry? Now listen to what I'm about to say. In our humanity, we're not going to be sinless perfect. Y'all agree with that? Say amen.
Amen.
So there's going to be worries in our life. But does that make it right? I mean, in other words, if He is enough, and I'm confident in Him that He's all I need, then how many agree? The Bible says, if you're His, nothing can happen to you unless He either allows it or initiates it. Do y'all agree with that? Say amen.
Amen.
All right, so anything that comes in your life, if you're truly His, He's either had to allow or He's initiated. Now, so if I'm confident in Him, then what is there to worry about? If He allowed it, or He permitted it, or He initiated it, and I have confidence that He, hey, let me ask you a question. He know better about what to do with your life than you do? He know better do what to do with my life than I do? Absolutely. So if I have confidence that that is true, then whatever He allows in my life, or whatever He initiates in my life, guess what? I can have confidence that He knows what He's doing.
Amen.
Let me ask you a question. What did Paul say to do with trials and tribulations? He says, rejoice. Didn't he say that? Rejoice in what? All things. Now, you say, well, wait a minute, preacher. Doesn't it say rejoice in most things? Rejoice in some things. I mean, rejoice in things I like. Or does he say rejoice in all things?
Amen.
You say, well, I don't like some of the things that's going on in my life right now. Listen, God didn't say you had to like it. But the point is, if you're confident in Him, you can rejoice in the fact that He's in control and He knows what He's doing.
Amen.
So you can rejoice. Why? Confidence. You trust Him. You know that He is your shepherd. Psalm 57:1, listen to what it says. Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, listen to what it says. In the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities are overpast. Notice third, sheep are settled with the control of the shepherd. Now here comes the rub. The only way you and I can walk in the peace to know that I'm not lacking in anything, in my shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, is like sheep, you have to, if you have confidence in Him, if you trust Him, and you have peace being in His presence because of your love relationship with Him, how many agree? You'll also let Him be shepherd and you be sheep. What does that mean? You'll let Him control your life. You'll let Him have control. Now, listen, folks. I was brought up from a knee-high to a grasshopper with the mindset of me taking the steering wheel of my life. But can I tell you, the greatest thing you'll ever do is let go of the steering wheel and let God have control.
Amen.
It's the greatest thing you'll ever do. You say, why? Because He's the only one that can control. All right, can you control what happens to you in the next hour? Anybody? Anybody of you can control what's going to happen to you in the next hour? Can He?
Yep.
So get the hands off the steering wheel.
Amen.
See, this is where we have so much difficulty of not allowing Him to have control. Now, listen, I'm going to give you a verse, and I don't usually say this, but I'm going to say it this time. If you need to underline it, if you need to star it, if you need to color code it, if you need to write it down on an index card, ladies, and put it in your purse, or men, and write it down on an index card and put it in your wallet, whatever you need to do, you need to write this verse down. It'll help you when you are having struggles of worry in your life. You say, what is the verse? Listen to what it says. Psalm 34:9. Oh, fear the Lord, ye His saints. Now, what's the word fear mean? It means to be in awe, reverence Him. Okay, so how many agree, if I'm in awe and reverence Him, what does that depict? Depicts someone yielding and submitting.
Amen.
Would y'all agree with that? Say amen. So in other words, if I'm in awe of Him, is He going to have control?
Amen.
All right, so He says, oh, fear the Lord. And watch what He says. Here's the prompt. For there is no want, there that word is, to them that what? Boy, isn't that an amazing verse? There is no lacking in them that fear Him. You see, the thing that keeps us from walking in this truth is, are we letting Him have control? All right, now, let's go to the second point. The second thing is, not only are sheep settled in their shepherd, sheep are satisfied in their shepherd. Hey, what do you mean by satisfied? Well, it's the only thing that pleases them. Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, Paul went through all kinds of stuff, but listen to what Paul said. He says, not that I speak in respect of want. There's that word again. He says, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be what?
Content.
So Paul said, listen, I've had to learn. God's had to teach me that no matter what I'm going through, no matter what's going on in my life, whether I'm being stoned, whether I'm in prison, whether I'm being shipwrecked, he said, I've had to learn that no matter what state I'm in, to be content. Why? How, Paul? How could you ever say that you've learned to be content in every situation? Because Paul understood that his shepherd was in control. There's two things that has to be true for you to be content in all things. Here's the first one, okay? Now, I want you to see these. I'm going to deal with them very quickly. You have to be content first with who I am. You have to be content with who you are. You say, what do you mean? Well, if you think you're in control, if you think you're the shepherd, you'll never find contentment. But if you see yourself as sheep and him as your shepherd, you can be content. Secondly, not only have to be content in who I am, you have to be content in who he is.
Amen.
So in other words, you have to be content in the fact that he's shepherd and you're not. And he's got the provision, you don't. He can do it, you can't. Now, let me give you an illustration. All right. Now, I want you to answer by saying amen. Now, I know some of you Baptists don't understand that, but that's a word that means I agree. Y'all say amen.
Amen.
See, some of you don't get it. Say amen.
Amen.
All right, good. All right, so I'm going to ask you some questions. You respond by saying amen. All right. I'm content with the fact that Jesus is my Savior.
Amen.
I'm content with the fact Jesus is my Redeemer.
Amen.
I'm content with the fact that Jesus took my sin upon himself.
Amen.
I'm content with the fact that Jesus is the Son of God.
Amen.
I'm content with the fact that Jesus rose from the grave on the third day. Amen. I'm content with the fact that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high.
Amen.
I'm content with the fact that Jesus is coming back one day.
Amen.
I'm content with the fact that Jesus is my Lord.
Amen.
Did you tell the truth?
Amen.
See, most people want him as Savior, Redeemer. But are you content with him being Lord?
Yes. Amen, brother.
See, you have to be content with who you are, but you have to be content with who he is. And that's what makes the sheep be able to be at rest and be satisfied and settled and be a creature that can say, I am not in lacking anything. All right, notice third. Sheep have sufficiency in their shepherd. Now, this is drawn from Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. But my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Jesus Christ. Now, I want to break down this verse real quick. The word supply here, here's what it means. It means to be made full, fill up, or abound. It's the same word used. You remember when the Lord Jesus took and told the disciples to cast the net over on the other side of the boat, and when it came back, it said it was filled? That's the same word. You remember when Mary was anointing the Lord Jesus with that spikenard, and it said the aroma filled the house. The same word. So what it means is when it says he provides all, he supplies all my needs, what it means is he fully, sufficiently, always, abundantly takes care of my needs. Boy, isn't that a great truth?
Amen.
Now, you say, look at some things about this verse real quick. I'm going to go through this in 2 minutes. Can y'all listen quick? Say amen.
Amen.
All right, notice the source of all this sufficiency. He says, my God shall supply. You remember what David started out in Psalm 23? The Lord is what? My shepherd. And here's what Paul said. My God, my shepherd, shall provide. He's the source of all of our provision. Notice, secondly, the sureness of all sufficiency. He said, my God will one day, maybe, if I try hard enough, if I trust enough, provide all my needs. Is that what he said? My God shall. We. The surety that not only is God sufficient, but God in his sufficiency will. Why? Because that's who God is. The Bible says if he'll feed the sparrows, how much more will he take care of you and I? So you see the surety. And all sufficiency. The sureness. You see the scope of all sufficiency. Notice what he says. He shall provide all my needs. Not most of them. Not some of them. Not just the physical. Not just the spiritual. All my needs. See, we look to Christ for our spiritual needs. But have you ever thought that he's the only one that can take care of your physical needs too? And look lastly at the supply of all sufficiency. How's he going to do that? According to his riches and what? So what does he have to draw from to supply all my needs? A bottomless pit. that can never be fully tapped. So get the picture. He shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by who? I didn't hear you. By who? Jesus Christ. So watch it. How do sheep get their needs met? By a shepherd. So here's God the Father has an endless supply. And the vessel that takes that bottomless pit of supply and applies it to our life is the shepherd of our soul. You say, well, preacher, I've done pretty good on myself providing for me. Oh, you better think again. Because what gave you the wisdom to do what you did? Who gave you the strength to do what you did? And by the way, who can take it away?
Amen.
Just like that. All good gifts come from where? From God. Y'all with me?
Amen.
All right. Notice the last thing, and I'm done. Sheep are secure in their shepherd. Are you ever going to walk in peace? Are you ever going to be able to walk in a lasting peace? That because he's my shepherd, not because of me, because of him, I'm lacking nothing. If you're not secure in him, you say, what do you mean? Well, if Jesus is enough to take care of my spiritual and my physical needs, is he not enough to keep me?
Yes, amen.
Y'all say amen.
Amen, bro.
Now listen to what I'm about to say. I want you to hear this. Isn't it a miserable life to not have security in Christ? Now, I don't want you to misunderstand. There's a lot of people that profess Christ that are lost as a goose in a windstorm. Okay? I want you to get the wrong impression. But here's the thing. They didn't lose it. They never had it.
That's right.
But can I tell you, how can I ever be found or walk in the reality that I'm not lacking of anything if I'm not secure in him? Let me give you a verse to nail this down and I'm done. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. Now look at the verse. Who are kept. How? Y'all say it. I didn't hear you. Who are kept how? Now listen. If you believe you can lose your salvation, then here's the way you got to read that verse. I'm kept by my performance. So how are you kept?
By his power
through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in what? Notice the term ready. Doesn't say you might be ready. Ready now to be revealed. Y'all got it?
Amen.
In other words, he'll finish what he started. He who begun a good work in you will what? Finish it under the day of redemption. So here's the thing. How can I walk in such a peace and contentment that I'm with David can say, in nothing I am lacking. In nothing I'm deficient. And you say, well, preacher, I want to grow in grace and knowledge. Listen, that's not what we're talking about here. You ought to want to grow in grace and knowledge. Y'all say amen. We always have a ways to go. Y'all say amen. But what I'm talking about is realizing that with him as your shepherd, even the growing grace and knowledge, you're not lacking in being able to grow in grace and knowledge. It's not I'm saying you've arrived. I'm saying that everything in your life, whether it's growing in grace, knowledge, whether it's physical, whether it's spiritual, you're not lacking. The provision is there, and the provision is in a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. But to walk in that, not to say it, not to acknowledge it with my mind, but to walk in that, a peace that passes all understanding in this, then here's what's going to have to be true. You've got to be settled. You've got to be settled with His company. You've got to be settled in confidence in Him. You've got to be settled that He's in control. You've got to know who you are. You've got to know who He is. And you have got to come to the place of realizing that He's all you need.
That's right.
And when that happens, here's what's going to happen. You're going to worry less. You're going to fret less. You're going to desire Him more. You're going to begin to develop an intimacy with Him that becomes so rich and so vibrant that you can't help yourself but continue in that intimacy. It's going to be an amazing journey. Lord, we're lacking in nothing. You've provided everything we need. And You will always provide everything we need. Father, if we need peace, You're the peace that passes all understanding. If we need joy, the Bible says we have the joy of the Lord. If we need wisdom, Your word says we have the mind of Christ. If we need victory, Your word says we're overcomers, not to be overcome. If we need help in temptation, Your word says You are able to secure us in all temptation. Whatever we need, You're all we need. It's all found in You. But Lord, I wonder how many in here today, they just have to be honest before You and honestly say, You're not my shepherd. I've never came to You in faith and repentance and yieldedness. I've never seen a time in my life where You came alive in me, and I've never ever been the same. My life changed. Father, anybody in here today, and they cannot say that You're truly their shepherd. It's not that You don't want to be. You died that You could be all of our shepherds. But Father, they have to come Your way. But Father, for all of us in here today that know, and we can say with David, the Lord, He is my shepherd. But Father, they're just going to be honest. They're having trouble walking in a way that can say, in my life, because of You, not because of me, because of You, I'm lacking nothing. I'm content. I'm at peace. Because You're all I need. I pray today that You would help them find themselves on a bended knee, just in a heart of confession and a heart of confidence. Saying, Lord, right here, I want to walk in the reality of this truth that You're everything to me. Whatever You need to do in my life, if You need to adjust my desires, do whatever You need to do. If You need to alter my time, do whatever You need to do. If I need to see things in my life that I've not allowed You to have control over, do whatever You need to do. But Father, I want to walk in the assurance that because You're my shepherd, I'm lacking nothing. And Father, I'll thank You and I'll praise You for what You do and how You do it. In Jesus' name, and all God's children say,